Flying with No Hands, and Why You Need to Learn How. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob's newsletter has been on hiatus for a few months. It'll return to publication next month. Today, we're going to mine the archives and discuss an article Bob wrote a couple of years ago on the topic of control system failure and hands-free flying. Bob, what's this all about?
Well, the hands-free flying is just proof to the flight instructor and to the pilot himself or herself that the airplane is in trim. Very simply, that means that if we take our hands off of the controls, the airplane should maintain a straight and level flight attitude if it's properly in trim. And then in order to persuade the student that this is a useful way to fly, we go through an exercise that simulates for them a possible control system failure, as you said, a broken pulley, a jam cable, or whatnot, and go ahead and demonstrate that if we have rudder control with our feet, obviously, and power control, we can keep the wings level and then control our altitude simply with power. If we carry that to its ultimate extreme, it's easy to demonstrate that very slight reduction in power can produce a 1, 2, or possibly 300 foot per minute descent rate. Then we pick an imaginary point out on the horizon on the land and say, let's line up on that, and let's pretend that land or emergency runway site, landing site, let's just say that's at 3,000 feet and AGL, and we're at 4,000 feet. And so we simply retard the power very gently so that the airplane settles down to that 3,000-foot target level at no more than 300 feet per minute. The pilot then can see that, yes, in the worst-case scenario with a control failure, we can get the airplane on the ground using just power and rudder to keep our wings level.
Now, this brings up an interesting area of endeavor in flying small fixed-wing planes, and that is the idea that you might be able to get proficient enough at this so that if you had a major control system failure and all you had left was trim controls, that might be enough to get it down safely, but you would have to have had a little bit of practice doing that.
Well, practice is the key, of course. The major point, and I'm sure that every flight instructor listening will heartily agree, that the plane must be in trim at any flight attitude that it's in. If we're in climb, the airplane should be trimmed for climb. Same with level flight, and same with descending. The airplane should always be trimmed so that there are effectively no pressures on the control yoke or stick. This becomes increasingly important in instrument flight. If the pilot has to struggle with the yoke or stick to maintain the right flight attitude and at the same time interpret instruments, it becomes a very difficult chore to do both. So I find that transitioning the private pilot to the instrument regime becomes very easy if the pilot has been trained in this technique of flying always in trim.
Let's just spend a moment analyzing what skills would be needed to make use of this if you did have a pulley break or cable jam.
Yes, if the airplane is in fact trimmed, the use of the trim tab may not even be necessary. The airplane is already trimmed, so the only thing that's keeping it up, so to speak, is airspeed, and airspeed is achieved through power. So that if we're in straight and level flight at, say, 2,200 RPM, if we bring the throttle back to, say, 1,900 RPM, that will produce a predictable rate of descent. And so all we have to do then is adjust power to create the desired rate of descent. I think most of us agree if we can hit the runway or a flat landing area at some place between 0 and 300 feet per minute, we may damage the airplane, but we're certainly going to walk away from the accident. And so that would be our desire to bring the airplane down at no more than 300 feet per minute. And again, a properly trimmed. Now we're talking about a light single. If we get into a heavier twin or certainly a transport level airplane, this is going to be extremely difficult to do because the landing speeds are going to be that much higher. But talking about the typical trainer or light single, this is an exercise that really everybody should put in their bag of tricks to be able to do.
Bob, when we come back from the break, let's talk about developing skill at landing at high approach speeds. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, talking about unusual techniques that can come in handy. Bob, you wrote about this next thought in the context of your New York City training trips with students into major airports. You mentioned that it's important to get comfortable approaching big airports at higher speeds than you normally would consider optimum for a small piston airplane, because you might be asked by controllers to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to, an airplane that normally that we would bring in on an ILS, say, at 110, 120 knots, if we're asked to bring that in at 140 or 100 or 150 knots, as we were asked to do in a Bonanza A36, again, the requirements for trim are just as true at higher speeds, if not even more important at the higher speeds than at the lower speeds. If we have to fight with the yoke or the control yoke or stick to maintain a descent rate while trying to keep the needles centered, that's a task that becomes almost impossible if the airplane is not properly trimmed. So sure, it applies in all cases. And the rough simulation to that, of course, is when the airplane is operating with the autopilot. The autopilot is taking over, if you will, the trim function, so that all we have to do is make gentle corrections in power to maintain whatever pitch attitude that we want to make.
Well, in either case, you're going to have to get used to the sight picture of coming in hot. And I guess the only difference would be that in a control system failure, you'd be coming in fast and have very little you could do about holding it off, for example, and before you touched down. Whereas if you're on final and you're keeping up some speed because there's, as you put it, a kerosene burner behind you, then you'd be able to potentially use the elevator to hold things off the runway until you got down to your normal landing speed.
Oh, yeah, and I think the point that we're both making here is the absolute necessity of practice. In a control failure situation, we instantly become test pilots. This was proven with Al Haynes' famous case of United 232 in Sioux City, Iowa, back in the 1980s, when a DC-10 suffered, in effect, a total control failure when all three hydraulic systems were compromised by a damaged engine. Here, they maintained altitude by differential thrust with the two outboard engines on the DC-10. In effect, this is more or less the same kind of technique that we had there. That airplane presumably was trimmed, and they were able to maintain their rate of descent, again, with differential thrust. And we do that with the throttle on our single-engine airplane. The only difference was, now I don't know the extent to which Haynes and his crew had practiced that procedure prior to that event. I'm led to believe there wasn't even contemplated that such a thing could indeed happen in a DC-10. But in our situation, we practice lots of emergency procedures. But this is one that has a dual benefit of not only preparing us for a possible emergency, but it really makes us better pilots because it forces us to fly the airplane always in trim. And after my students, for example, after the first two or three lessons, you'll find them oftentimes flying with their hands folded on their lap, again, maintaining a wings level attitude with rudder, and then using throttle to maintain altitude. And when I see that happening, then I know I've achieved a degree of proficiency that we like to see, certainly in beginning pilots, and we need to see in instrument pilots.
All right, Bob, well, listen, we appreciate your bringing these issues to our attention, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Monday.
Thanks, Paul, very much.
You can find Bob's work each week at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.